Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you inspiration, tips, and learning about tuning into the language of your soul and gain a deep, intuitive understanding of your inner self, your guides, and the animals around you, so you are able to live from your heart with grace, love, and gratitude. We bring together spiritual leaders, energy healers, and awakened humans, so we are able to collaborate and help you feeling loved, joyful, and free by providing clear direction on how to connect soul to soul. Hello, beautiful soul, and welcome to another episode of the Connecting Soul Beings podcast. This particular episode was recorded during the 2018 Connecting Soul Beings Summit. This summit contains 28 experts and thought leaders, and we created this event to help conscious, self-aware soul beings and animal lovers to have inspiration and practical guidance on how to feel connected and in alignment, filled with beautiful energy. You can also watch the videos of these episodes on our YouTube channel, which is listed in the show notes. Please enjoy. Hello and welcome back to this online summit, Connecting Soul Beings. Today, I have the pleasure to introduce you to Karin Monster-Peters. She is a lady of many talents and she has just moved from the Netherlands to the Dominican Republic. And Karin is actually a life purpose coach and healer and also a psychologist. And today's conversation is about being highly sensitive, what that means and what impact that may have on our life and also on our mental state of mind. So we also touch on what can we do if we've lost our passion for life, if we've lost our purpose, and what it means to feel depressed around our life and how we can deal with that as a high sensitive being. So grab yourself a cup of tea or coffee and enjoy this wonderful conversation. So what I wanted to start off with is around the highly sensitive, because you mentioned that you work with people who are highly sensitive. What does that entail? What do we need to think about when we hear highly sensitive?
Yes. So many people, when they hear the term highly sensitive, they think sensitive, right?
Yeah.
Highly sensitive as a trait, that it is a part of, it's an innate trait. So you're born highly sensitive. And it's actually sensory processing sensitivity. That's actually the official term. That's the scientific term for it.
Right.
But Elaine Aron, when she published her book, The Highly Sensitive Person, it became a name for it. It was like the romantic name for a scientific trait that has been researched for many, many, many years, mm-hmm. but now really has caught on. So now there's a lot of research being done around it to really have a good base on what it actually is. It's basically, so you're born highly sensitive. It's that you have a more sensitive nervous system. Mm-hmm. And it's 15 to 20% of every population.
Wow.
So in every population, you will find that 15 to 20% is highly sensitive. And I'm talking even in fish, in flies.
Yeah.
It's basically part of our whole system to have. And this is just my theory, and a few like more spiritual people also have this sense. It's like we're like that that little bird in the vine. How do you call it? The canary.
Canary. Yeah.
It's in mine. That we're kind of like we're placed in a spot to kind of like really trigger. We are triggered first when something's not working.
Yeah.
Right? Because we feel it right away. This is not good. And we're more like the observers before we dive into things. Not all the highly sensitive. Everybody thinks, oh, you're more sensitive, so you're introverted. No. 70% of the highly sensitive are introverted, but 30% are not. They're not, they're extroverted. And you can actually be an introverted, highly sensitive sensation seeker, which is me. So, because they're controlled by different parts of your brain.
Right.
So basically, I'm always looking for challenges. I'm actually introverted. I'm highly social, which makes it difficult for me to balance all of it. And I'm extremely sensitive, right, which means that I'm picking up on a lot of things. I am, and at the same time, I need a lot of alone time to actually decompress. So many, in the latest research, Elaine Aron had, in her books, she talks a lot of characteristics around being highly sensitive, but in the latest research done in the University of Brussels, they found that the main characteristic of the highly sensitive is the deep processing. And the deep processing really plays out on so many levels that it actually explains all the other characteristics.
Right.
Because it seems that our brain, and that's been done, and they've been researching the highly sensitive brain, we don't have a filter. So our nervous system, the brain that starts off our nervous system, does not have a filter. And a normal brain, a non-highly sensitive brain, gets input. And then it goes into like, okay, where does that need to go? Do this part of my brain will light up? Will this part of my brain light up? We get it like this, woof. It just goes in the brain and the whole brain lights up. So it means that our brain right away goes into overwhelm. And that flushing of information goes into our full body, into the rest of our nervous system. So it's definitely so when a highly sensitive child says, that label hurts, it hurts. It does, because it just does not have a filter. You know, there's not that that little label does not go into their body and goes into this, to the right spot in the brain. It's just, oh, it's just a little label. We can handle that. We can filter that out so you don't feel it. You're feeling it. So that's the same for sounds. It's the same for everything that comes into our system. And that deep processing will also mean then that we don't just receive it. We make sure that it's like goes around and around, and we start, our mind starts analyzing. And that means then that it's going to get stored deeper in our system because we ruminate more.
Yeah.
It gets stored deeper into our system. And then everything else that goes with that. So our emotions, deeper processing. Our emotions are more intense because of that. Because we just don't feel, we feel. Right? So everything around that high sensitivity, around the deep processing, just comes together, which also will mean that trauma will go deeper in our system. And that's why many traditional ways of healing or counseling or therapy just don't work on the highly sensitive. Because what traditional therapy will do is actually re-traumatize the highly sensitive person.
Re-traumatize?
Yeah, it's talk therapy.
Wow.
So I'm already talking, right? Mm-hmm. And there's something that happened to me that really made a huge impression in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm already a deep processor. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about it and talk about it and talk about it. So what is that doing to you? It's actually kind of like going, it's kind of like anchoring even more in your system.
Yeah.
And even somebody like Elaine Aron, who's actually a researcher, she's a psychologist, addresses the fact that the highly sensitive do better in alternative medicine.
Yes.
Because we go around things in a different way. We kind of like get it out of that deep level and we bring it out to look at, and then we kind of release it. We don't go into just looking at it and we don't do anything with it. So yeah, high sensitivity, it's such an interesting trait. Because so many things are misunderstood around it.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many people that come into therapy, go to a psychotherapist or a psychiatrist, and they think they're crazy, but they're not. They've just been misunderstood their whole life.
Yeah. Yeah, I can so see that, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm. So how do you... Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, I was going to ask, like, how do we actually know that we are high sensitive?
So basically, the quickest way is you've always been different. So you're born with it. And people have always said, she was so sensitive. You were so sensitive. Oh, you've always been so different. It's been said from early on, right? Because that's what I've encountered a lot in this online world, is that many people think they're highly sensitive, but they're actually trauma. It's actually acquired sensitivity. And so if you know that you weren't that way before, and now you are, then that is acquired sensitivity through trauma, and it's not the highly sensitive brain.
Right. Yeah.
So basically, you've always been this way.
Yeah.
You've always felt different. You've always been that different child.
Yes.
You've always been picking up on things that others do not. You've always needed more alone time. You've always needed... You know, you've always known, why am I like this, right? You've always had that sense. Usually parents usually always also say that to you, you know, or have been talking about you in that way. She's always been so sensitive.
Yeah.
You always had that around. She's always been that way.
Yeah.
Right?
And
that's
then,
how you know.
and feeling maybe a bit excluded from the norm as society tells it as well. I can so see that as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, society, 80% is not highly sensitive, right?
Yes.
So
yes.
That means that always... The norm has always been around the non-sensitives. And let's just see our society for what it has become. And let's just say we're evolutionary beings, right? Our system, our society, our Western norms have exploded in the last 30 years. There are books written... There was like one in like around 1925, and it talks about the highly sensitive, and it talks about the sensitive person, and how they are so different, and that, you know, they're simply cannot choose not to be complicated.
Right.
They simply cannot choose not to be complicated.
Yeah.
And that fascinates me, because then in 1975 there was a German psychiatrist who also wrote a book, The Sensitive Person, Der Sensible Mensch. And he talks about the pathology around sensitivity. It had become a pathology because society has become so overwhelming 1976.
Yeah.
So can you imagine how much pathology now has been created because our sensitive systems are so overwhelmed, and evolutionarily speaking, our bodies just had never caught up.
No, it hasn't.
So who were we, evolutionarily speaking, historically mm-hmm. speaking? Who were we? We were the healers. We were the shamans. We were the priests. We were the monks. We were the nurses. We were those who people would just say, so that's your part in this community. That's okay. You're allowed to be that because we need this in our community.
Yes.
Right? They were the doctors. We were even lawyers and, you know, people who were more inspired to be of service, to be in solitude, and to be in a different way in society. Still serving, but in a mm-hmm. different way.
Mm-hmm.
Priests, right? Now, even priests are suffering because their jobs are not what it was before. It's not a job of reflection and service. They're like administrators.
Yeah. Most of the time, yes.
Yeah. The same for doctors. Right? The healers who would be doctors before, right? They're not, you know, doctors anymore because we can't fit in that high production way of being.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, we are just so misunderstood.
Yeah. And
we have just not evolved. And should we evolve? I think we're still the ones with the big function of, you know, that child in that overcrowded classroom who starts suffering. That's the highly sensitive one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that makes the teacher and management realize, oh God, it's just not working.
No.
So we do have that function still, but it's not an ideal situation. Our society's not built for us.
Do you think that's changing though? In the last probably 10 years that it's really started very quickly?
There's more awareness, but management-wise, organizational-wise, it has not caught up.
No.
So let's just say in a country like the Netherlands, there's a highly sensitive specialist popping up every 2 seconds, right? Because it's so important, and there are so many children suffering in the system.
Yeah.
Internationally speaking, I started talking about it online and people were like, oh, I'm like, what? I mean, as I say, in the Netherlands, it's like there's a specialist in every corner.
Yeah.
So for me, I was like, everybody knows this, right? No. They don't.
No.
So that's interesting. I think there's more awareness, but I don't think society has caught up with the awareness level yet.
No, exactly. But thank God for the online world, because we do bring that awareness into people's homes and into their beings much quicker than what we did before, you know. And probably countries like the Netherlands, they're probably more open to it and to explore, you know, how can we actually deal with this. And I've also learned, especially in the last 6 months, talking to so many different people like yourself, that, you know, the US, for example, is quite progressive in this field. And yet, if we look at Australia, you know, they're probably really, really down the list in terms of people knowing what it's all about. But in saying that again, the last 5 years, I've really personally observed that is taking a quicker turn like a lot more people are coming out, so to speak, that they do experience being so sensitive and that they are going to explore more about what can I do with this? How do I actually, you know, find out how I can live like this? Because I also believe that some of the major depression comes from that space too.
Absolutely.
You
know?
And you do see that that's shifting and that more people are coming out and say, hey, I can help you with that because I've been through this. Therefore, you know, we can help each other.
So people there, so we're always talking about burnout and depression. And
yeah.
As well, people say they start with I'm burnt out.
Yeah.
And but what they usually mean is I'm depressed. And the reason I know when I go into the conversation is that they're actually depressed and not just burnt out because it has the same symptoms. But you can be burnt out because you've just been working really hard and you still love what you do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But many people in my space, they are actually depressed and they're burnt out because what they've been doing their whole lives is actually not who they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Understand.
And that is soul crushing burnout, right? Mm-hmm. It's that space of burnout. I've been doing what has been expected of me my whole life. I've been adapting. I've been doing the right trainings. I've been to the right schools. I've been taking on the right jobs. And I am deeply unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And they crash and burn, right?
Yeah.
But it's actually a depression because what you've been doing your whole life is not working.
No.
You're not honoring you. You don't even know you. And that's where those depressions, and that's why I always say, you know, I'm a healer, life purpose coach, and psychologist, because that's where life purpose comes in.
Yes. Yes.
Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
To really get out of that cycle of depression, it's vital to start. It's not just let's heal the brain. Yes, there's that body part also that has to recover from all those years of working towards something that actually wasn't yours to have. But there's that soul part there.
Yeah.
That's what we need to address. And when that gets rekindled and we find out who we are, then all of a sudden the energy's back.
Yes.
You get moving and you get excited again. And that's why I'm always like, that's so important for people to realize that what is depression, right?
I'm
talking about really a medical condition that it's really deep in your brain, that can be actually measured on a brain level, or is it really, I don't know who I am and what I'm doing here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Two completely different.
Two different things.
Yeah.
And it's very important that we, as psychologists, as coaches, as healers, that we ask the right questions.
So what are some of those questions that we can ask ourselves perhaps to identify, you know, where am I at? Because I'm sure that, you know, listeners and viewers may experience similar things that we're talking about right now. So how can they identify for themselves what that level could be? Like, what are some of the questions we can ask?
Well, the easiest question, am I excited to get up every morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's really, am I excited to start my day? Am I actually doing the things that I love doing?
Yeah.
It's that simple. When we're living our passions, it's very easy to get up at 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we are excited to get on with all those little things that we know we're, yes, I'm in purpose. And if you're not, then it starts to start reassessing your life.
Yes, yes.
If you're dragging yourself out of, if you really go, oh my God, I cannot go back to that job again. because it's crushing my soul. And I don't gloss over words, because that's the thing. We gloss over things when we actually want to say that. Mm-hmm. I say soul crushing.
Yeah.
Because that's what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
That's what's happening. And when we're just going, oh, I'm fine. But what you're actually meaning, I'm dying inside. It's time for you to start saying that and start getting on doing the things that you actually want to be doing.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how much time we have. Let's start doing those things we want to be doing.
Yeah.
And start getting passion and excitement in our lives back, instead of, I'm fine, it's fine, you know. And even when we're not, you know, when we are in difficult situations and transition moments, it's okay to say, I'm in a panic moment. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But if you don't say it, you can't look at it and you can't do something about it. If you're just kind of like pushing it down, well, you know what's going to happen as a highly sensitive?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to feel that in your body really quickly.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
It's going to show up somewhere in your system. It's going to show up until you look at it, because you cannot fool energy. You cannot fool your system.
No.
So you think you're fooling it. You think you're denying. You're not.
No.
It's going to show up somewhere.
Yeah.
In your physical body or your family system or your work system, until you look.
Yeah.
So let's just be honest with it right up front before it shows up somewhere you don't want it to show up.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm absolutely scared of my system when it shows up, so I address it right away.
I think we've been there more often than not.
Exactly.
You know, that's.
We just know when we're, you know, you get trained.
Yeah.
Your own field, and you know, uh oh, and do something quickly, because you have to shift. Yeah, before it shows up.
Definitely. So can you share perhaps a strategy that we can work with to shift us? You know, if we have that inkling of, oh, something's not working, or I'm actually not happy today to get out of bed, what is that? Is there something that you could perhaps advise or suggest for us to do?
Well, I always say do something.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. It doesn't have to be big.
Yeah.
And many times, any step that you take towards what you love, it's already telling source, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, the divine, the goddesses, I'm fine with every terminology, that you mean it.
Yeah.
You want this. And that's the thing we do, is that we overwhelm ourselves before we start.
Yeah.
And then we do nothing, and we can't get out of bed, because that big picture we have up there about what we want is so big that it crushes us into bed. But anything, any one little thing that you do will get you moving.
Yeah.
Anything, any goal, get started with one little thing. It's never that big thing. It's always with that one little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take that off and you go, yay me, look at me, I did that one little thing.
Yeah.
And it just gets your energy flowing again. It gets you unstuck. You know, it's like that, I want to learn to do 100 push-ups. Well, have you done one? Right?
Exactly.
We get overwhelmed because I can't do 100. Well, you have to start with one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good at yoga. Well, Have you done one stretch today? Right?
Yes.
I am not naturally flexible, but I have acquired flexibility through every single day for the last 3 years and 10 months. I have done my stretches, yeah. Even if it's just 10 minutes, right? I don't set myself up for failure by saying every day I have to do an hour, because I don't have an hour every day.
Yeah.
So do anything, do one thing, but do something. Nothing will get you nothing.
Yes, that's so true.
Nothing will get you nothing.
Yeah.
And as soon as you know, it's like, oh, I am feeling my body hurts, you know, and you, oh, but I don't have 1 hour for yoga. I roll out my mat. And as soon as I do that one stretch, my body goes, oh, yeah. And I do another stretch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this feels so good. I do a third one.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
You do one push-up. And then you go, oh, that wasn't so bad. I can do another one.
Mm.
Right? You start writing. And you go, oh, my God, nothing. And you start writing. And you start writing whatever. And then all of a sudden, you're writing in 5 minutes. And then, oh, this feels really good. And all of a sudden, you're doing an hour.
Yeah.
Or not. Maybe you just did those 5 minutes, but you did it.
Yeah.
And what did the what did your field and source picked up? You moved. You did something.
Yes. And not only that, it changes your energy as well. And it motivates you too. It's like, oh, wow, I've actually done that. Rather than down talking it, because I can appreciate that people might say, oh, but I've only done that one thing. Well, no, like you say, it is that one thing that you've done, right? And which is amazing, and celebrate that.
And I'm all about celebration. I think that we are so hard on ourselves.
Yeah.
We are our worst critics. We know that, right? I can look at my life and I'm thinking, I'm not writing my book. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. And people are around me, I'm like, holy crap, you already raised funds for 2 classrooms and you did this and you moved countries and you did. And I'm thinking, I didn't write that. I'm not writing. Right? I know this on a very egoic, conscious level that I'm doing this to myself.
Mm-hmm.
But we do this, right?
Mm.
And it's just really important to really celebrate all those things that we did do. And I like to break things down on a such a basic one thing level that I cannot fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then I high five myself. I'm like, woohoo, look at me. I rocked that one thing. And what am I doing? So on an energetic level, I am moving. I am doing it. But on the neurological level, I'm rewiring my brain to notice the good things. I am rewiring my brain to connect those dots, to actually create new neural pathways of success.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of all those little cortisol activations and all the stress that comes up when we think of all those negative things, I'm actually rewiring my brain to celebrate and to give me dopamine and endorphins and all the yummy ones instead of all the negative ones.
Yeah.
So we're doing so many things on so many levels that it sounds really small, but it's really, really big.
Yeah.
So break it down small so you can go big, What we can do in a day, it's really small. But what we can do in a year with all these little steps of high-fiving yourself and doing those little things once a day, you look back in a year and you don't recognize. I mean, I don't even know myself. I don't know the person that I was a year ago. I just don't. But as many habits, many moments of success piling up, creating momentum.
Yeah.
It's that one client. It's that one thing. And it's that one. I only need one client and I'm in business, right?
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to write 10 books. I need one book right now. I'm struggling with that. But still, you know, I know this. But this is how our brain works. Our brain is showing us what we don't do, but we want to rewire our brains to show us what we do.
Yeah,
we do so much more than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah.
And we are so much more than we give ourselves credit
for. Yes, absolutely. Wow, way more.
So one thing,
exactly, perfect. Perfect. Makes it so easy.
It is easy. Well, you can even chunk those down, right? What is the one thing I can do for my business today that can really help out my business? But what is the one thing I can do in my relationship today that will really deepen my relationships?
Yeah.
And that can be your romantic relationships, but that can be your relationship with your children.
Yeah.
One thing I can. What is the one thing I can do for my health today?
Yeah.
What is the one thing that I really have to clear in my administration so that it's a little bit more orderly this for this month?
Yeah.
One thing in your life can bring so much clarity and peace of mind because you did it.
Yeah.
And it's really clear. It's the domino effect, you know. We see that whole field, but there are all these little dominoes that are piled before it. So what is the one gear that will create so much momentum in that big thing that it will just knock it down in the end, right?
Yeah, definitely.
I think you can do so many little things with just one thing.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. And it keeps us really present too, because we're really acknowledging what we're doing right now, not what we did yesterday or what we need to do for that big thing in the future. It really keeps us here. Yeah.
One thing today. What can I do today?
Yes.
Not tomorrow, because tomorrow you might, you know, tomorrow might look totally different because you did that one thing today. And you will only know what that is tomorrow, not today.
Not today, no. Exactly. Yeah.
So that's my secret to my way of being. Even in the state that I'm right now, I can only be in today. If I think about tomorrow, I go nuts.
Yes.
I'm just, okay, where am I today? How am I feeling today? What does my body need today? What needs to happen today?
Yeah.
And do that.
Exactly. Hooray. We're doing it. Oh, how wonderful. That's amazing. Thank you so much, Karin. Absolutely amazing. So wonderful to have you here.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, fantastic.
You're welcome.
Love it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback as they are truly inspiring. So please take some time to comment on this episode below. If you love the show, you can help us by sharing and liking it via your favorite podcast platform and our website. And if you feel that we can work together in helping you to connect to your inner self and the animals, then hop on over to biancaderose.com or find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram under Bianca De Rose. Thank you again so much. Say hi to your pet from me and stay connected with love and grace.